We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Welcome to another edition of the Dynasty Command Center podcast. My name is Travis May, and I'm joined by my co-host, Curtis Patrick. We are the Devy and Dynasty coordinators with RotoViz, and we are excited to talk about some rookies this week. We've been talking about preseason, training camp, buys and sells, and all the noise that's going on right now amidst all the preseason action. But it's been a bit since we've just dedicated a show to rookie coverage. I mean, we had the rookie guide series with DCC and a whole bunch of podcasts on this topic and pre and post draft. But really doing a rookie draft do-over, I thought would be perfect right about now because so much has changed since May. We've seen all the training camps. We've heard all the buzz. And we've seen some, you know, not so mainstream names kind of come out of the woodwork and find a place on teams. But we don't want to make it too deep. We don't want to go four rounds here. So we're just going to stick to one round tonight. But I think even that probably looks a little bit different than it did back in May. So Curtis, you ready for this?
Yeah, man. I've been doing nothing but drafting over the last week or so, but it's actually been really redraft focused for me. And I've been doing a lot of prep for the FFPC main event. So it's really awesome to come on and do what I love and talk dynasty and get back to the rookies. We spent so much time last spring cutting this up, and now with games just a couple weeks away, it's just fun to see how things move. And so just a reminder to everyone, you know, we really like to use the FFPC ADP on this show. Just, you know, I think the high stakes nature of it, the kind of the win every year nature of that brand of dynasty can also impact rookie draft trends. And we see that in the ADP on our RotoViz tools, and you might see that in the way that Travis and I are drafting these rookies tonight. So this is not going to be your traditional 25 deep roster with taxi spots, and this is going to be a high stakes dynasty rookie draft of the first round. So keep that in mind as we roll through this. Before I get us started with the 101, Travis gave me that and want to put me in the spotlight, and that's fine. I'll take it. I love being there.
You got it.
we got to pump the FFPC main event. This is the redraft event of the season. $500,000 to first place. We have a $3.1 million prize pool. Our good buddy Sean Siegel Of course, the Grand Poobah of RotoViz and I are drafting our first team tomorrow night. Extremely excited. Well, if you're listening to this on Friday, it's Friday night. It's a 7 p.m. draft. We'll probably tweet out some links so you can follow along. But extremely excited about this. We want you to join us. I mean, $1,850 to buy in, but if you add a second team, they go down to $1,500. And I mean, man, when you think about the opportunity to win $500,000 and testing your mettle against some of the best players in the world in this exciting format, it really just does not get any better than that. So you can check out the details about the FFPC main event at myffpc.com. That's myffpc.com, and it's the home of season-long high-stakes fantasy football, and it's also the place where we like to play high-stakes dynasty fantasy football. So, Travis, you got to put me on the clock, man.
Heck yeah, man. Ladies and gentlemen, with the first pick of the Dynasty Command Center rookie draft do-over, Curtis Patrick is on the clock.
Okay, so I want year one impact. Man, I want immediate impact in a high-stakes dynasty format. I'm not going to wait. I'm not going to wait a year to see what I've got from somebody. And the dynamics of an FFPC dynasty league are that running backs are the currency. And, you know, I've talked all offseason about how N'Keal Harry is a sterling prospect. He's my 101 and more of a traditional dynasty league. You know, your $50 buy-in with deeper rosters. I don't mind being patient. I've probably built that team up. But in FFPC, running backs are currency. And I'm going to break your heart here, Travis. I'm going to go Miles Sanders at 101.
Oh, my gosh. Really?
Come on, I'm not letting you have him at 102 because I know that's what you had queued up. You try to put me on the spot at 101 thinking that you just gift yourself your boy. I'm going to take him right off the top of the heap. And the reason I'm doing this is the beats have just – okay, we've talked drum beats, but I'm talking beat writers. The beat writers are in love with Miles Sanders. They love what they're seeing. The Eagles coaching staff just continues to gush about Miles Sanders. He's looked great in his limited opportunities in the preseason. We're already in love with his profile from an athletic standpoint. And this really just comes down to wanting to take one of those top three running backs. And I feel like in that Philadelphia offense tied to Carson Wentz, if he can get that bell cow role, there's nobody there like a Tariq Cohen that David Montgomery is going to be dealing with. And Josh Jacobs in this same tier is with John Gruden, who has a long documented history of not really being able to prop up fantasy RB1s in a PPR format. So I'm going with Miles Sanders here. What do you think?
Well, you're just a big jerk face. That's what I think about that.
All right, man. All right. I'm going to put you on the clock. Update our draft.
That's my official feedback.
Yeah. I don't know. Go find a new co-host, I guess. So,
I guess I just got to find. Yeah.
101, Miles Sanders to me. Travis May is on the clock at 102.
Yeah, Miles Sanders has been my running back one, regardless of this being, an FFPC, we want action and production now type league. I mean, Miles Sanders is my running back one. But I think just based on the value and the implied opportunity early with virtually no one else that's going to be a viable option to really compete with him for touches, I think Josh Jacobs has to be the go-to in the second slot. I think he has a huge opportunity. Even if he's not the running back one that you want him to be, I think he can be a contributor. And I don't see any situation where he's below running back two for a team right away. And so I think that's not that I really loved him as a prospect. His production profile is gross. We don't know really what his athletic profile is. There's a lot of missing pieces to this puzzle that is Josh Jacobs. I mean, the film grinders love him. And I am one that likes to watch film and chart running back snaps game by game. But I really wish you hadn't taken Sanders. That's all I got to say.
Sorry, I had a little technical difficulty there. But Josh Jacobs, I mean, for the reasons that you stated, I can get on board in it again. In high stakes, we're looking for that early pop. And even if you don't believe in the player long term, I mean, if you get a strong September from any of these backs, moving them for a mint or, you know, restructuring is certainly on the table. So all right, we've got Miles Sanders 101, Josh Jacobs 102. That puts me back on the clock at 103. I already gave you my rationale for what I'm doing in an FFPC style high stakes dynasty draft. So it rookie draft. So it might not surprise you that I'm going to go David Montgomery at 103. And you know, again, very difficult to pass on N'Keal Harry, but when you look at FFPC high stakes dynasty ADP, he's going at like 87 in startups. I mean, a full four rounds, below some of these guys. And so it's, you know, you have to understand market dynamics. And if I'm not forced to take, Harry as early in a rookie draft, I'm not going to do it. I mean, I can get my guy later. So, I think 104 is the spot where you start talking about taking N'Keal Harry in the FFPC format. So we'll see if Travis wants to do that, but I'm going to go David Montgomery 103.
Yeah, I think that seems like a pretty chalky pick right about there, especially given the shorter rosters. And even just this week, I mean, they're talking about potentially peeling back or limiting Tariq Cohen's role slightly in favor of David Montgomery. So that seems like the easy pick at three. I feel like that 1-2 punch, then there's maybe a little gap there. I think at four, though, I can't avoid taking N'Keal Harry. Obviously, if Josh Gordon comes back and is the focal point of the receiving game, that obviously dampens his short-term impact. But there's really no evidence to suggest. I mean, I'm rooting for Josh Gordon. I want him to succeed. I mean, he was so much fun to watch when he was healthy and just clicking way back when. I guess it's been like 4 or 5 years ago now that he was the wide receiver one, missing even a few games. But there's no evidence to suggest that he's going to stay on the field and he's going to actually stick around. He hasn't done it ever. So I hope he does, but I think the upside of N'Keal Harry in that opportunity, even as the team's wide receiver two of the future in the short term, I like him. I mean, we've talked and gushed over his production profile, his early breakout age. He's got decent size. He does a lot of things from pre-snap positional alignments that I think he can line up all over the field, and a lot of people don't really take that into account. So I think he's going to find a way to be relevant early on, regardless of who else is there. So that's probably my fourth pick, and I think there's a couple other players, a couple other directions I could go, but I hope you reach here and I get a value at the next pick.
Yeah, I got to commend you there. I think he's like in an FFPC style rookie draft, he would be the clear 104 for me. I think those top three running backs is kind of just what's the order that you put them in. You know, our box score scout at RotoViz obviously loves Harry for a lot of the reasons that Travis brought up and some of those metrics. His closest comp is Mike Evans. The top 10 comp list also includes Alshon Jeffrey, Kenny Galladay, Allen Robinson, Juju Smith-Schuster, and Michael Thomas. So there's so much to like about Harry, but I think you properly brought up the Gordon situation kind of murkying those waters. So in this style of draft, in this style of league, Harry is more a guy I'm going to target after a rookie draft or in a rookie draft slide than in that top three. So Travis goes N'Keal Harry at 104. That puts me back on the clock at 105. And this is like a big old nasty tier right here. It's kind of just which flavor do you like? And this is going to be fun. I don't really know how the rest of the top 12 is going to land because of the way that we're doing this. So I'm going to stick true to form based off of how I would attack an FFPC league. And I'm going to go Daryl Henderson here. Daryl Henderson is actually my 105 in my regular rankings as well. So I don't really have to stray from my board like I did with my first two picks. Feel very comfortable here. The Rams are talking about, I think the last update that I saw was they would like to get him something like 8 to 10 touches a game. We've also heard rumors that, you know, Gurley will be like a week-to-week deal where if the knee's just feeling a little inflamed or a little rickety, that they may just rest him. I mean, there could be some games where Hendo gets the entire bulk of the carries. Obviously, in the unfortunate situation for Todd Gurley, if he were to have a significant setback with that knee or, you know, fall to a devastating injury, we're talking about Daryl Henderson having overall RB1 within his range of outcomes in any season in that high-flying Rams offense. And I mean, just the sheer number of touchdowns that Gurley's put up the last couple of years just mind-boggling. So the types of things that we haven't seen for several years until he did it in 2017 and again last year. So Daryl Henderson, very easy pick for me. Just a reminder, some of the reasons that we're on him at RotoViz, you know, his per-touch efficiency in college, basically the most efficient running back ever in college football history. Despite his short stature, he's actually got a decent BMI. We like that. So his weight-adjusted speed score is still pretty nice. You know, just plenty to like about Daryl Henderson, and really excited to see what he can do in L.A. So, Travis, we're at the halfway point after your pick here, 106. What direction are you going to go?
You know, I was hoping that you were going to let him slide, but given both our opinions of him prior to the draft, I thought he's probably going to go here, especially with the Gurley situation and just his incredible production profile that we both were a fan of. And I'm actually a fan of Patrick Taylor having a big role in scoring 25 touchdowns or so for Memphis this year. But that's another time, another story for another day, maybe next year. But in this sixth slot, I think if you were actually in a competitive draft that was kind of short-term focused, looking for some production right away in some capacity, in some ways, you might see, you might begin to think of a T.J. Hockenson, Noah Fant at tight end, or even like a Kyler Murray, just because of people valuing him as like the QB6 already. Before he even really plays a snap. But I'm going to actually stick at the skill positions. I'm going to go with Paris Campbell in Woo! Indy. I think.
Oh, man. I did not see that coming. Yes, I love it.
Yeah, man.
Okay. Now tell me why.
I'm going to go that direction.
106.
Well, first off, I think Andrew Luck is going to be healthy at some point. And I think that connection is going to be real.
He's going to be alive for like 50 more years.
Yeah. So he's going to be healthy at some point. I know we like to overreact to the short-term news anytime there's anything that goes wrong health-wise. But I think that Devin Funchess has never been a good wide receiver. He's there for like 1 year, and people forget that he's going to be on the couch in a couple seasons anyway. So I think that there's really not much competition there. Besides T.Y. Hilton in the receiving game, I think we saw some crazy touchdown numbers from Eric Ebron this year. I think that comes down to earth. Paris Campbell just creates separation on his own with the speed and his athleticism on everything underneath. And Ohio State did not use him as a deep threat, but given his 4.3 speed, I think he could definitely use that in the pros. So if they find a way to get creative and just actually target him in the areas of the field where he can beat you deep and creating yak underneath, I think he's going to be a high volume play faster than many might think. So I think at the sixth slot, I'm loving Paris Campbell right there. But that may seem crazy to some, but I think the opportunity is going to show that it's much better than any of us could have ever imagined. But and plus, I just wanted to get revenge and take your Ohio State guy since you took Miles Sanders earlier.
Yeah. I mean, I love it. This is a curveball. A couple picks before, I thought he might be on your board still as a first rounder. Didn't expect him to go off there. But man, it's going to be tough to top those first six picks. Just in a recap here. 101 was Miles Sanders, 102 Josh Jacobs, 103 David Montgomery, 104 N'Keal Harry, 105 Daryl Henderson, and 106 Paris Campbell to Travis. So before we get to the 107 in the back half of the August first round rookie redraft, we've got to tell you about Yahoo DFS, and in particular the NFL $1 Million Baller contest for week one. This is a $1 million guaranteed prize pool with $100,000 to first, $50,000 to second. This is not the type of contest you see often with a flatter payout at the top. Many souls and dreams have been just crushed, just missing by that, you know, partial point between first and second and losing a ton. And, you know, $50,000 drop off is significant, but this isn't like some other high payout contest that you might be familiar with where the drop-off's even worse. There's no management fee, zero management fee. Every dollar of this prize pool of entry into this prize pool is being paid out. There's a 10-entry max. Don't have to worry about the big trains. It's $25 to enter, and 25% of the field is going to be paid out at least double their entry fee. So 1 in 4 chance to win at least twice your money. and a chance at 100K at the very tippy top. There's also a $100,000 guaranteed prize pool contest with $20,000 to first, just a low 12% management fee on that. And then for those of you that might not want to throw in $25 or $10 on a couple entries, we've got the NFL Yahoo Cup. This is free to enter, and they still give away $5,000 in weekly prizes, including $1,000 to first. Over the course of the season, there are $150,000 in total prizes, 10K to first overall over the course of the season. And what they do is it's actually a cumulative scoring design, and they drop your lowest two scores from your total at the end of the year. If over the course of the year in the NFL Yahoo Cup, you somehow play the perfect lineup, and we're talking optimal lineup, so leave no points on the table, highest possible scoring team of the week in any combination, they're going to give you $1 million. Okay. Why would you not sign up for a Yahoo DFS account and at least play the NFL Yahoo Cup? So if you've never opened an account, go over there and do that with your deposit. Use code VIZ25. That's VIZ25. And they're going to give you $25 with that deposit. You really can't beat that. So again, 2019 is the year to check out Yahoo DFS and make that the home of your daily fantasy sports journey. All right, Travis, second half of the draft. I'm back on the clock.
Let's do this.
You just took Paris Campbell, so I'm reeling here. Now, FFPC is tight end premium. It's tight end premium, so we can't forget that. I'm not going to use that. I'm not going to use that play here, but it's going to come into play, I think, in the second half of this first round. I'm going to stick to my board again now because some of those higher end running backs are gone, and I feel comfortable with Andy Isabella as my six overall. Man. And I get him at seven here, and you know. I think that one's going to sting you a little bit because I know how well Andy Isabella scored in your API, your adjusted production index, and that's not the only reason that we love Andy Isabella. I also love the landing spot. I love that he's with Kyler Murray. I love the type of offense he landed in given his skill set, and I really think that toward the back half of year one, he could really start to provide some value in a PPR league, and by year two could really be one of those players that's popping big time. So Andy Isabella is my selection at 107.
I can't argue with that. I definitely like his production profile. I like that he just – all he does is score deep touchdowns. In the eight-game sample that I charted, all of the touchdowns that he scored were at least 37 yards or more. And last year, in 2018, 11 of his 13 touchdowns went for 37 yards or more. So a deep threat that kind of looks undersized, doesn't play undersized, and has 4-3 wheels. I'm a fan. Obviously, I think RotoViz, I can't find anywhere that's higher on Andy Isabella than the RotoViz team. Just I think he is going to have a great opportunity by the end of this year, even though Michael Crabtree was just signed yesterday. I'm not sure what his role really looks like this season. I like Christian Kirk, and I think the future of the NFL at wide receiver looks more like Andy Isabella and Christian Kirk than it does, you know, Hakeem Butler and that archetype of wide receiver. But, yeah, you definitely took a player I would have probably considered in that spot, but I do value the tight end premium position, and I am going to, at the next pick, in the eighth pick of this rookie draft do-over, I'm going to go with TJ Hockenson. I think at this point, you know, an early first tight end selection, that's somebody that is a trade chip in tight end premium, and I think he's going to produce right away and immediately be better than whatever Eric Ebron used to be in Detroit. And so I think I like his chances to produce early. I think he has the most balanced skill set of any tight end in this class. And he really actually out-snapped Noah Fant in their final season together at Iowa for good reason, because he can both block and catch. So I think he's got a great floor, and I think he could nab some touchdowns too.
Oh, wow. I love that. I hope that you stock up on corn and protein powder. I think you're going to need that to keep your guy happy.
Probably.
Yeah. TJ Hawkinson, definitely can't argue with that. And, you know, that's been kind of a back and forth consideration between he and Noah Fant. I mean, I think Hawkinson being more of a sure thing to get a higher snap volume because of his versatility at the position. Fant being more of the type of player like a Mark Andrews that it maybe has some holes in his game, but we know how dynamic and dangerous he can be, you know, as a big slot and get in those matchups. So unfortunately, Fant's been a little ouchy throughout camp, and I think he's going to be off to a real slow start this year. So, I think Hawkinson has a chance to pop a little bit earlier. And, I mean, basically looking for anything to break the tie between those guys. So I'll also take at this point Matt Stafford maybe slightly over Joe Flacco. At 109, I'm going to get another one of my guys, man. I'm loving this draft. I wish this draft was real. JJ Arcega-Whiteside, baby, at 109. Give me Jaws. And by next year, he's going to be basically Alshon Jeffrey in that Philadelphia offense by 2020. I am pumped about getting Arcega-Whiteside here at 109. Just such an awesome red zone weapon. And he's a high pointer. He can do the in-traffic stuff. But just a relentless worker. I mean, all of the things that you read you know, in the pre-draft evaluation were about kind of how Stanford would just drape four corners on him in practice, and he'd still come up with the ball somehow. And he's really impressed the coaching staff, the beat writers, everyone in Philadelphia can kind of see what he's got there. So Arcega-Whiteside, 109, joins my stable, growing stable of wide receivers now. And you're back on the clock at 110, Travis.
Yeah, so you must be a fan of my adjusted production index, because the Andy Isabella and JJ Arcega-Whiteside, that's numbers one and two. If we look at that, when you mix it with draft capital, it just that looks like those guys are almost in a can't miss tier. Really, Andy Isabella certainly is.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I mean, I tweeted out a couple months ago, back in June, I think, when you took that thing public. I mean, and we'll talk about this maybe in like a heavy bye week this fall again. We'll bring it back up with some Devy updates or something. But adjusted production index absolutely should impact the way we view rookies moving forward, the way we handle Devy moving forward. I mean, I think it's a great output of some various metrics that we already love and believe in, and it's just a fantastic way to actually just measure what we should be doing with these players. So Andy Isabella, JJ Arcega-Whiteside, whether or not adjusted production index would have liked them, there were other reasons that I liked them. The fact that they score highly there is just confirmation bias for me for sure. So yeah, I love that they score high in your model, and that gives me some confidence moving forward for sure. So you're back on the clock at 110. What are you going to do here?
Yeah. Well, before somebody just screams and loses their mind that we haven't taken DK Metcalf at pick 10, I'm going to go that direction. He's not somebody that had a perfect production profile or even stayed healthy throughout his collegiate career. I mean, he was for the most part, but he, you know, missed some time with the neck injury, of course, this past season, and is already having to get something cleaned up, having a minor surgery, I guess, this preseason, not ideal. But I think that that lets him slide a little bit here. And I don't even mind just drafting him as an asset to move after the rookie draft and after he does come back and after he connects with Russell Wilson on a deep ball or two after week four. I'm okay moving him if I don't have to rely on his immediate production or immediate, you know, impact in the next 3 years or whatever it is that you like to prioritize. So with him, I think the value is just too much. That I know that I saw somebody joke this week about, well, they asked him to you know, run you know, any route besides a go or a curl, and he broke already. And it's kind of funny, but it's kind of true. He just doesn't have much experience outside of the simplest of routes and a route tree. But there's all sorts of narratives surrounding DK Metcalf, but I think the value is just too much at pick 10 in a rookie draft right now to not take him.
Yeah, and he's getting that that lower quad built back up to support the knee with like some sort of electric stimulation therapy or something like that. I saw him, a close up of his leg hooked up to this thing that just kept flexing his quad over and over and over again. I'm like, the last thing that we need, or that the NFL needs, is DK Metcalf that is now being like a lab experiment. He already looks like a lab experiment, but now he's literally using machines to grow his muscles bigger. So, you know, hopefully this doesn't become like a David Boston situation with DK Metcalf. But yeah, in all seriousness, Sean Siegel did mention DK Metcalf on his list of potential year one breakout wide receivers. And, you know, I think you and I both see Tyler Lockett taking a step forward there. Me in particular, really just see him growing into that volume. But with Russell Wilson's deep ball efficiency, Metcalf could be a very dangerous fantasy asset as soon as he's healthy. So pick 111. It's my last pick of this first round rookie draft do-over. And, you know, it is tight end premium, and even though he's a little bit ouchy, this is a perfect spot for me to grab Noah Fant. Just incredible athlete. And, you know, the wide receiver position in Denver isn't really much to write home about. And so I think that once he does have a chance to familiarize himself with the coaching staff and how they think that they can maximize his effectiveness in that scheme, there's no reason, you know, as soon as year two, I mean, that offense could really be going through him. You know, we could be looking at, you know, a George Kittle-like focus on him, a Jordan Reed-like focus on him, where it's running game and it's seam routes from Noah Fant. And so very happy to add him to my stable. You get to make the Mr. Irrelevant pick at 112.
Yeah, Mr. Irrelevant rounding out round one of a rookie draft. I think that I kind of hate having the last pick here because I kind of want to go like three or four different directions with this pick. Although I think I want to take Kyler Murray just off of his current value, but I just don't usually spend that kind of capital in one quarterback type leagues. Obviously, Kyler would be near the 1.01, if not the first pick in you know, super flex formats. But in one quarterback, I got to abstain from making that selection, and I, you know, want to go AJ Brown because I believed in him pre-draft, and it would be the Homer Titans pick for me. And I even want to, you know, potentially give a look to Marquise Hollywood Brown because he actually had a pretty impressive final couple years of college production, especially this past season with his yards per team pass attempt, kind of fixing up his adjusted production index as well. Obviously, he had the foot issue, he had the you know, the size issues, but I still believe in Hollywood. But right now, because I just want to get his name inside the first round conversation, because I thought for a long time, given his Devy upside and Devy value and what he did at Oklahoma State, he should be in this type of tier in terms of talent, and just missed the cutoff that we typically want to see with draft capital for running backs. But Justice Hill going early fourth round and having to compete with basically just a breaking down Mark Ingram, whatever the heck we want to call Gus Edwards, on a very, very run-heavy Ravens team in a situation very reminiscent of Alvin Kamara just a couple years ago, kind of looking like he's a mid-round pick or early kind of pick. His, you know, Kamara was a third-round guy. Justice Hill, I got to remind you guys, he was super quick at the combine, had a 94th percentile vertical jump, 97th in the broad. And that's because that dude has tree trunks for legs. He was squatting 600 pounds like 2.5 years ago. He's got just amazing burst and vision. He can catch the ball as a receiver out of the backfield. Does he have ideal feature back size? Absolutely not. But I think that he can still add a few pounds and maintain some speed. And I think he's going to be a really good running back for quite some time. So if he works into starter snaps by the end of the season, which I believe is possible, or even just the 1B in that situation, his value is going to skyrocket and burst past anyone that might still be going ahead of him at the end of round one or early round two. So I think Justice Hill may sound like a hot take, but it really isn't. It really shouldn't be given his resume in college and what we know about what he can do just as a balanced player. But I'm curious of your thoughts on that pick, Curtis.
Yeah, I can't argue with the Justice Hill pick there. I mean, he's shown us plenty in the preseason. The rushing volume that's available in Baltimore, the athletic measurables. I mean, everything that you mentioned. This is a spot in the draft that a lot of players are really in consideration, especially some of these sleeper running backs that are rising. Hill's kind of been there all along, but I think arguments can be made for players like Devin Singletary. If you're in love with even like Darwin Thompson or Tony Pollard or somebody like that, I mean, these players, once somebody pops, it's kind of hard to tell where they're going to end up getting. And so if you really believe in what you've seen or you're really pumped about that role, it feels so much worse to not get your guy. So, you know, if Hill's your guy there and there's multiple receivers that you like, that you can get a couple picks lower, yeah, then you got to take them. So I got no problem. There's no sticker shock for me seeing the 1.12 by Justice Hill instead of the 2.01. It can feel weird sometimes if that's not something that you've seen, but FFPC format, I think that's highly defensible. I have no problems with that pick.
Nice. Yeah, I don't either, obviously, but I think there's so many players that are right on that fringe of worthy of a first round pick. So many different directions that you could go in that type of slot. But I think that just speaks to, I guess maybe the confusing depth of this class. We thought that this class was going to be incredibly deep, one of the better classes we've seen at wide receiver. And it still might be the case, but I think it's just, it's not as clear as we wanted it to be a couple years ago when we were touting the 2019 wide receiver class. But I'm sure we'll figure things out here. And the first 4 weeks or 5 weeks of this season is going to change things again. We might see a couple of these guys that are, you know, borderline second round players skyrocket in value. But just wanted to give us, give you all an updated snapshot of where Curtis and I value some of these rookies and also where some of these players should be going in current startups. And even if you're still having a last minute rookie draft, I know I even had some questions this past week on people still having their rookie drafts as the season is about to begin. So any questions on this? Love to interact with you guys on Twitter. You can find me at @FF_TravisM, especially if you just want to tell me I'm wrong, that's fine. You can also at Curtis at CPatrickNFL on Twitter. But as always, thanks for joining us on this Dynasty Command Center podcast. But until next time, keep living that Dynasty life.
Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns. Legends, whose four-way rivalry defined one of the greatest eras in boxing history. Relive their decade of dominance in the new Showtime sports documentary, The Kings, a four-part series premiering Sunday, June 6th, only on Showtime.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.